For those of you who know Jim well, it's hard to keep up with Jim, even if I'm half his age. And I would like to say that I receive just as much as I give at the table. And I'm trying to think now, I came to Ironman right at the end of 2020. So I think the very first week of 2021. And I think like a lot of you, I don't want to assume your experience, but 2020 was a little bit crazy, a little bit different. And I was looking for a group of men. I was looking for connection and just so grateful wherever you are, David, for everything you've done to set this up. I'm grateful for all the men who have been a part of setting this up. It's been huge for me. And so I just want to say that before I get going. And then I also want to say personally, Jim has meant a lot in my life and a whole lot. So before we get started, most men open up in prayer, and at the risk of being sacrilegious, I'm going to actually open up with a question that's very dear to my heart. Who here has seen the movie Gladiator? Okay. Gladiator is one of those, and I think my wife is watching. I snuck her the link. I hope that's okay. I know women aren't allowed here, but I think she is watching this morning. Gladiator is one of those movies where if I'm flipping channels late at night, there's a handful of movies. I think Gladiator, Braveheart, Batman for sure, the Nolan trilogy, and The Matrix, I know, the first one. I will always stick on those movies. Well, Gladiator, I think the thing that captures me about Gladiator is the story arc, the harm that's done, right? So Russell Crowe, his whole family is, he's a good general and he's betrayed and his family is brutally murdered. And the whole story arc is him kind of slowly and steadily marching towards revenge. This kind of follows the plot line. If you think about it, Braveheart, if you think about, well, any Mel Gibson movie, if you think about The Patriot, yeah, The Patriot's great. The Taken series, this is a very common thing in Hollywood. Now, the character of the month that we have is Joseph. And so the Bible offers up a great revenge plot and Joseph, or the potential for one. And so before we, and I think Austin, who's not here, he said he's going to tune in. He did a great job last week of highlighting some of the betrayal that Joseph experienced. You know, the people that he trusted the most, or he should have been able to trust the most, his family, sold him into slavery, which set off a chain of events that really changed the course of history. And so it sets up for this great revenge plot line. And in fact, and that's one of the great story arcs of the last part of Genesis. Before we jump into seeing if Joseph would exact his revenge and how he handled it, I do want to read a passage. I want to fast forward a little bit to Matthew. And if you want to turn to it, it's Matthew 18, 21 through 25. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. Before I do that, I want to pray. Father, now that we have Gladiator out of the way, I pray that you speak through me. I pray that you show us the importance of this topic. And I just pray that you use me this morning in any way you want. Amen. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As it began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. Sound familiar? But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went out and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the same mercy? Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had had on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The good news is, if we run out of coffee, that should wake you up. Wow. I think a lot of times, I grew up in the church and we will read something like that and we don't really fully grasp. We've heard it 100 times, 1,000 times. That is a bold, bold statement that Jesus makes in that parable, and one that should be sobering. But you know, some of the immediate thoughts that come to me is, well, God, do you really, is that literal? Does Jesus, you know, he speaks in riddles sometimes, speaks in parables. Does he really mean that? You can't, I mean, these people have hurt me. You can't expect me to really truly forgive in that way. I mean, I have a favor. Can we together recite the Lord's Prayer? Can we recite it right now? That's not rhetorical. Right. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us
forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen. Thank you. Seems like forgiveness might be kind of important. Think about this. When Jesus was asked by someone, how should we pray? He included, with asking for forgiveness, he included the assumption. Some translations say, as we forgive, and some say, as we have forgiven. So there is a baked-in assumption. This is a prerequisite, okay? So jumping back to Joseph, like any good Hollywood plotline, he finally gets the opportunity to settle the score. This is the moment we've been waiting for. This is Russell Crowe in the Colosseum one-on-one against Commodus, right? He gets his opportunity. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 through 21, now there were several interactions between he and his brothers, but I'm going to skip ahead to the moment of truth. In verse 18, this is after their father had died, and so now they're really shaking in their boots. Maybe he was just pretending this whole time, maybe for dad's sake. Now dad's dead. Oh, crap. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. As a side note, I wouldn't mind hearing that from my brother. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Key point here. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you, your children, for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Theologian Miroslav Volf says, the heart of forgiveness is relinquishing retribution. And at risk of adding to what any theologian might say, especially one named Miroslav, I'm going to add a very small part to that. I think it's relinquishing the right to retribution. Okay, and there's a subtle difference there. We'll get to it in a second. As a counselor, I deal with this topic a lot. I deal with people who have been harmed. I'm sure a lot of you in this room have been harmed. I've been harmed, okay? And some of that has been by people that I trust, that I should have been able to trust the most. So how do we actually forgive? There are three components. Number one, and we're going to draw this straight from Joseph. Number one, name and condemn the sin. This is not the sinner, okay? Name and condemn the sin. Number two, mourn the consequences of the sin. Six times prior to this, Joseph was recorded as weeping when this topic came up of how his brothers had betrayed him and what his life had entailed. And then the third is, as Miroslav told us, relinquish the right to retribution. In my experience, most people either, one, hold on to their right to retribution. They've harmed me, and maybe I won't exact my revenge, but I do deserve it. And I hold on to that right to get even, okay? I am justified in my position. This brings about bitterness and resentment. The second mistake that we typically make is we will ignore or minimize the sin and or its consequences. The first is not forgiveness at all, and the second offers cheap forgiveness, which also falls short. Jesus is the ultimate example. When he willingly paid the price for our sins, he agonized over the consequences. He agonized. This is God, and he chose to do it anyway. He chose to forgive, even though it cost him everything. Men, in order to fully forgive, we must acknowledge and grieve the sins against us and or against those that we love. We must do this before we can truly forgive. So what stands in the way? Again, looking to Joseph, in Genesis 50, 19, Joseph displayed humility. Okay, excuse me, what stands in the way? Selfishness, and this is me talking. Selfishness, pride, and arrogance. Selfishness, pride, and arrogance. In Genesis chapter 50, 19, Joseph displayed humility by saying, am I in the place of God? Joseph also had, instead of a selfish worldview, he had a God-centric view of the world and the overall storyline. This is the only thing that allowed him to see the bigger picture. And when one of the most powerful verses, in my opinion, in the Bible is Genesis 50, 20. What you intended for evil, God meant for good. Okay, in my practice, I can't tell you, this is one of the major themes that comes up again and again. What another person or what Satan intended for evil, God uses for good. This is God's sovereignty. Actually, in Genesis 45, 8, he had another interaction with his brothers. He actually said it was God that sent him into Egypt, not his brothers, which I think is just a profound statement. Joseph chose to see and be a part of God's bigger story, not just his own story. Finally, what is the cost of not forgiving? If the parable of the unforgiving servant wasn't enough, I think it should be, right? But if it wasn't, not forgiving brings about resentment and bitterness. And resentment has been compared to having an enemy, drinking poison, and sitting and waiting for your enemy to die. It impacts us. And then the second thing is, and this is the bigger part, is if we don't forgive, we do not get to be a part of God's redemptive storyline and arc in that situation. We miss out. We miss out. You know, when I first got this topic, I knew what I was going to be speaking on. I felt pretty comfortable with it. I deal with it in my practice. I feel I've done quite a bit of personal work in this area for the people who have harmed me. So I thought I was going to be giving us, you know, a scholarly type discussion, and that's what it would be. God has a funny way of timing, right? This week, guys, a month ago, my stepfather, who I have a very, very complicated relationship with, we'll say, He found out he had a blockage in his colon, and he was rushed into the ER. And this is a man without having time. This is not my therapy session, so I won't go into it all the way. But he, on a serious note, he's an addict. He's an alcoholic. He is extremely abusive, emotionally manipulative, controls my mom and has for the last 10 years. And it's been a really big problem with our family, because it's one of those situations she won't get out of it. And let's just say that his going into the hospital stirred up some very ugly feelings in me that I, as someone who tries to walk with Jesus, I can't justify him. And it made me really uncomfortable. And just to be honest with you, you can probably read between the lines, but I'll just fill them in for you. I was ready for him to die. It was that bad. And I don't say that lightly. And I know that that's not okay. And I know that that is not who I'm called to be. So God, once again, I'm thinking, oh, I've done a lot of work here. God says, no, you got some more work to do. This week, as I was preparing, I was finishing up the last few finishing touches on this. I got the text message that they were calling hospice in. Literally, as I finished it up, I closed the book. Okay, I feel good about this. Boom, get the text message. I'm going to be thinking, there are three questions, right? And I'm going to be thinking through those questions. I want you to think through those questions. One of those questions, I believe, centers around, what is the cost of unforgiveness? Might I have had a voice with my stepdad if I had forgiven him a long time ago? Thankfully, my family doesn't do everything right, but they get saved by grace. And there were a lot of people at his bedside, and he professed to know Jesus on his deathbed. Yeah. I pray that that's true. I pray that he did accept. But I missed out on the opportunity to be a part of that redemptive arc because I didn't forgive him sooner. That's all I got.
Thank you, Darren.
Darren was not expecting me to dialogue with him for just a second, but that message was one that I had heard about 22 years ago. I was at a church, and the pastor is actually here this morning, and as we were walking in the church, he gave everybody a stone, and I had my stone, and I had a marker, so he gave us a stone and a marker. So I'm sitting there, and Ron knows the story because Ron was the pastor, and so Ron talks about forgiveness, and so at the end, he has a cross at the front with a big bucket, and he says, I want you to write down the person that has offended you as a symbol of that. So I knew exactly who it was after listening, and just like some of you guys know exactly who, or the list of the top three. And so if I gave you a rock and a marker, instantly you'd be able to do that. And now, how many of you would your name be on somebody else's rock? No, I'm serious. So I wrote down his name, and Ron then said, I want you to come to the foot of the cross and forgive him. And I sat there and held the rock for, it felt like 30 minutes, because I'm like, no, I want to put this rock in a sock. And before I forgive him, I want some retribution. And it took me forever to go to the foot of the cross that Sunday. But Carolyn looked at me, and I've got tears going down. I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to forgive this guy. It feels good to have this rock, and I want to hold on to this thing. And it was over a big financial thing. But eventually, I wrote his name on there and found my way just kind of crawling to the foot of the cross. And that day, I put the rock in. And it was a beautiful day for me to let it go. And what Darren is coaching us through this morning, specifically table captains, question number two, don't let this morning go by you. Many of you have been wounded And many of you have wounded someone else. And this is a moment for you to think about that too. Who has put your name on their rock that you need to go to and say, please forgive me? But this morning is about you forgiving someone else for the hurt that they've caused you. And so, Darren, as you think about the questions, and you gave a great list of questions on there, question number two, I think, is one that I think that the guys need to just not move past this morning, starting with authenticity with the table captains. And what would you guide them to do if they say, I'm not comfortable sharing who that person is, you don't have to share the name, but I do know who that top two or three people are, one person, what would be the walk away for them this morning to really have some life change?
Yeah, that's a great question. Once you've identified the harm, once you've identified the situation or the people that you need to forgive, this shouldn't be, and so if anyone disagrees with this, we can talk after. Sometimes this isn't a quick and easy process, right? And so kind of like when we are working out the salvation with fear and trembling over time, yes, it is a decision I'm choosing to forgive, but man, it can be a tough thing in an ongoing process. And we have to sometimes choose to forgive over and over. And some of that is just like when we're grieving a loss, there are layers to it, right? And there are complexities. With my personal story, it's not just my interaction with my stepdad. That's very little of it. It's the impact he had on my mom. It's the impact he had on the family as a whole. It's the impact on the relationship now, the blockage between my mom and my kids. So it's, some of this is just, once you identify it, it's unpack the complexities. And sometimes that can be through journaling. Look, I'm not a big journaler. If my wife is still watching, she'll laugh because I tell people to journal all the time and I'm not very good at it. But what we call story work, write out your experience, write out your story. It can really help to kind of tease out what it is that you're actually trying to forgive. So that's probably the main thing. And then Ron, that was a great, the other thing is pray for him.